But so over the years, I've had many opportunities to pray with students because maybe they're fighting a battle. Maybe it's a struggle with sin, or maybe it's a struggle with different things going on in their life. And what's going on is you're looking for freedom from it. Because no one wants to battle with sin. No one wants to go through this. And so typically, people respond and they come forward and they want prayer because they want freedom from this. And so, for instance, over the many years, I've prayed with students because they want freedom from pornography. I've prayed with many students because they've asked for prayer because they want freedom from cutting, freedom from smoking, freedom from vaping. And like, you name a struggle that teenagers deal with, that teenagers struggle with, and I've probably prayed for it over the years. And I wanted to let you guys know here in the room tonight that you can come to myself, Kristen, any of our leaders here in the room, and ask for prayer about absolutely anything. And I want you to know that there will be no judgment. There will be only care, only concern, us only wanting to see God move in your life and help set you free in your life. And we want to pray for you. But there was this one time, I'll never forget this. There was this one time, there was this young man came to me, and it was kind of at this event, and he came to me, and he wanted prayer, and he wanted freedom from pornography in his life. And we can be real here at Emerge, and we can talk about difficult things. And so, by the way, I do want to say this to make it clear for everyone in the room. It is sin, and what it does, it leads to lust. And what it does, it gives an inaccurate view of how you should see men and women and how men and women should be treated. And I want to make this statement too. We believe, as followers of Jesus, that the act of sex should be saved for marriage. I want to be very clear about that. But this, what was going on in this situation, that this young man, and he came forward for prayer, and we prayed. I prayed with him because he wanted freedom from pornography. And so what happened is he came forward, he confessed sin, we prayed, and then as we were praying, like worship was going on at the same time, and as we prayed, like he began to get this biggest grin on his face. It's like kind of like a goofy grin, like you get, and it's like, and so he was just excited, and he started worshiping, and so I was like, okay, I guess we're done praying. So he was worshiping and just involved in what God was doing in that moment, and he showed up later to me, and he said, I'm free, Pastor Jeremy, I'm absolutely free from this sin in my life. And I want you guys to know, like, as a pastor, like, these are the moments that I live for. Like, this is the why behind, kind of why I wanted to be a preacher. Like, this is the why behind this, like, to see people set free and to find freedom. And so so over time, it story goes on. Over time, sometime later, I ran into this student, and we followed up with this guy. And when I followed up, he couldn't look me in the eyes. And you could tell that there was sorrow and there was sadness and there was bitterness, even bitterness. And he even actually started crying, and he said, you know, I found freedom from sin, but I went right back to that same sin. And I left that moment with, like, my heart kind of broken, because I remember even my own freedom story. And the moments that I've had with Jesus, and the moment that I had with Jesus where everything changed in my life. And I can relate with that story because I've had moments to where I was found freedom and I stepped back into that sin. See, I want you to know tonight that as children of God, as his royalty, we started talking about this last week, as his royalty, I want you to know tonight that he can set you free from sin. That's why it's so easy for us. What we do up here, we sing songs about freedom. And it's easy to talk about freedom. But I want you to know it's hard to experience freedom. And so why is it? Why is it so easy for us to love Jesus, but it's so difficult for us to follow him at times? Why is it so easy for us to love Jesus, but so hard to follow him? So what happens? What happens when you grow to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you continue to live in the same way as you did before him? And I would be willing to say that for most students over my years of being youth pastor, most, not even students, a lot of believers, long-term, lifetime believers that I've known, this is a lot of their struggle. And so what happens when you become a believer, when you begin to follow Jesus, but your actions don't align with your new identity? And see, these are the questions that have been asked time and time again. And I've asked these questions. There's theologians, like people who are way smarter than I am, who have dove deep into these questions, who have asked these questions, scholars, pastors, they've asked these questions. And recently I heard it said like this, and I love the way it's stated. It says this: an encounter with Jesus sets you free, but your habits with Jesus are what keeps you free. I'll say that again because it's good, and I didn't hear any amens. An encounter with Jesus sets you free, but your habits with Jesus are what keep you free. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to cover three groups of Christians real quick that we see in our everyday walk with Christ. So the first group is this. And three groups of Christians. First group is this that we're going to cover is the get out of jail free card Christians. And so what that is, and honestly, like, no hate here, but these are the people who really put their faith in Jesus because maybe they heard a sermon about hell, or they heard about hell and what happens to sinners when they go to hell. So what happens is they accept Jesus, and it's all about, with these kind of Christians, it's all about where you don't have to go now. But many times what happens with this group of believers, after they put their faith in Jesus, really what happens is there's not much of a desire to really follow Jesus. They followed him out of fear, and it was simply because they didn't want to be in that place. But the second group is this. It's the trying my best to follow Jesus, but not everything he said is for me, believers. I know, like, these are really long descriptions, but this the group that says, I'm trying my best to follow Jesus, but really not everything he says is for me. So the most interesting thing is that many Christians, this is how they live. This is how they live. So let me explain it this way. One of Jesus' most famous sermons that he ever preached is called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's actually, if you've ever read this sermon or heard it being talked about, it's actually really intense. But what happens is people will read the Sermon on the Mount, like, for instance, and they'll get to the part where Jesus says, if you even look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. And these type of Christians will hear that or read that and think, well, that's just not possible. That's not possible for me. It's not possible for me to look at a beautiful woman and not lust. Maybe Jesus can do this, but not me. So, and then even further, there's another part of the sermon where Jesus says, if there's anger in your heart towards another person, what you've done is you actually have committed murder in your heart towards this person. And so maybe you're like, well, my family, like, we're a pretty angry bunch. You're like, we're Irish, right? I don't know what people's excuse to be angry. But it's like, it kind of runs in our blood. And so what happens with these types of Christians is that they want to do the best they can, but also Jesus's teachings aren't all for me. And this is what we think. This is what these types of Christians think. This is what they believe. I want to live for Jesus, but not like all of Jesus. And then there's the third group, if you're taking notes, and that's the living for the kingdom of God group. And I want you to know, like, this is our theology here. This is, like, our belief here at Emerge Youth Crown Point Church, is that God didn't just save us from something; he saved us for something. So, like, he didn't just save us from hell so we can go to heaven. And heaven isn't even just the place, like, that we're just, like, we're waiting to get into. But as we follow Jesus, heaven actually gets into us. And as we follow Jesus, what happens is the ugly parts from our old life begin to slowly and surely begin to be stripped away as we're formed into the image of Christ. Does that make sense? This means yes? Okay. Okay. So here's what happens. So what we do is we read that same Sermon on the Mount, and we hear Jesus saying these things, and we realize, I've got a long ways to go, but by the grace of God, I'm going to get there. By the grace of God, I'm going to pursue holiness, and I'm going to become more and more like Christ. Why does this matter? Because it matters because you won't become more like Jesus if you think it's optional. And I want to say it this way, you will also not become more like Jesus on accident. You will not become more like Jesus on accident. There's this guy, his name is Dallas Willard, and if you're a reader of theology and all this kind of stuff, he's like the Yoda of this of faith. Anyways, he said this. He says, there are no accidental saints. So what he's saying is you will not accidentally become more like Christ. You're like, oops, I slipped and I fell and I became more like Jesus. That's not how it works. You will not accidentally become more like Christ because your habits are so important. And I want you to know tonight that your spiritual habits are important for your life. An ungodly life starts with ungodly habits, but a holy life starts with holy habits. So tonight, if you brought your Bible, we're going to be looking in Galatians chapter 6. And we're just going to read two verses right here. And so if you brought your Bibles, if you didn't, it's going to be on the screen. It says this. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap what? Are you with me? Will reap what? Destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap what? Eternal life. And so I want you to know too, the word sows right here in this verse, it connects directly to our English word of like investing. And so equals invest. And so the writer of Galatians is saying, if you invest in the flesh and what that really like worldly habits, worldly things, you're going to reap a worldly life. But if you invest in the Spirit, you're going to grow in the Spirit. And so the writer, he gave us this warning and he said, be careful where you invest your time. Be careful where you invest your attention, because your habits, if that's where you invest, you'll always be, you're be looking for freedom. Let me say it this way. When you invest in worldly things, your chains of bondage that you so desperately want freedom from, when you invest in the worldly things, those chains actually grow thicker. But if you invest into spiritual habits, you'll receive freedom. So kind of back to our statement, our main statement of what we're talking about tonight is your encounter with Jesus will set you free, but your habits with Jesus will keep you free. And so I want to make it real plain. Somebody say, make it plain. Make it plain. I want to make it real plain. So, if the only changes about your life when you choose to follow Jesus are, like, let me say it like this. If the only thing that changes about your life when you choose to follow Jesus are now where you spend your Wednesday nights or maybe even Sunday mornings for roughly 60 minutes, you're not going to be transformed in the image of Jesus. Like, I want to say like this. There may be even some of you in this room who have gotten baptized in this room. And if all you did it for was a cool photo op and not really life changed, you're not really transformed to be in the image of Jesus. If the only thing that changes when you decide to follow Jesus is where you spend your Wednesday nights, and after you give your life to Jesus, what's going to happen you're going to always live in this frustration gap between your life and the life of Christ. Because all you did was take on a calendar change and not a life change. See, Kristen and I, we've been married for 22 years. Is she in the room? Correction? 22 years? Okay. I'll say it. 22 years. Confidently. If our marriage together would be terrible if I only spent 1 hour per week with her. Like, you'll never have a great friend in your life if you never talk to them. So you can't expect to have a great relationship with the Lord if you're only spending time with him for roughly 60 minutes on a Wednesday night. Like, camp's coming up. Anybody excited for camp? Okay. I love camp. I absolutely love camp. It's like, well, you got to go to camp this summer. Winter retreat, to me, is like the best thing that we do. Missions trips are game changers for so many people. And all these moments are fantastic, and they're great moments. And you'll have these high mountaintop moments with God at these events and at these different things. These moments will take you high, but your quiet time with the Lord will take you deep. See, an encounter with Jesus will introduce you to Jesus, but your habits with Jesus will how you become to know Jesus. If you're looking for freedom from sin in your life, and I would imagine there's many of you guys in this room tonight who there's some things going on in your life and you need freedom from it. If you're looking for freedom from sin in your life, it begins with a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's all about becoming more like Jesus. So I want to give you real quick, and we got to go to fam time, but real quick, three things, a few ways, and I actually, how to not become more like Christ. Let's say that, how to not become more like Christ. You don't become more like Christ through the zap method. Everybody say zap. See, this is what happens. This is where people think that God will just zap you to be more like Christ. So like you go to a retreat, you have a good moment. You go to camp, you have a good moment with God. And it's like, zip, you're more like Christ, right? And this is what we expect. And we go and we have these experiences and we have these really good moments. But I want to tell you that camp retreat is not a long-term growth strategy. It's a great moment. It's a powerful moment. I've seen lives changed. I've seen students called to ministry at camps and at retreats and in these moments. But it is not a long-term growth strategy. It's just a starting point. So you don't become more like Jesus with just more information. That's the second thing, with more information. So in James, it says this, you aren't changed just by knowing the word. You're changed by putting into action the word of God. It's not just about your talk. It's about your walk. So if I gave a pop quiz tonight, anybody like pop quizzes? I didn't think so. But if I gave a pop quiz tonight, and if I asked Christians in the room, if you're supposed to be more generous, 100% of you would say, yes, Christians are supposed to be more generous. So why aren't Christians more generous? Pop quiz question number two. If I ask Christians in the room, if you're supposed to serve others, 100% of Christians in the room will say, yes, we are supposed to serve others. Why aren't you serving? Because Jesus, his teachings on money and on servanthood, what has happened is they haven't permeated your heart and hasn't changed your life. See, you can read the whole Bible and not be changed. See, the Bible is essential. You can't follow Jesus without the Bible. And the last thing is this. You don't become more like Jesus with just more willpower. You just got to want it more, right? And this is the strategy that I see the most. from believers. I just need to want it more. And so what do? Like, so recently, Emma ran a half marathon, right? What was it called? Rock the Parkway. Half marathon is how many miles? 13.1 miles. You guys, I have a hard time going down the stairs. Ashley, right? Yeah, she falls up the stairs. But listen, Emma just ran this race, and you may have seen her talk about it or her post about this, and you've seen her run, and maybe what that did for you is that inspired you to start running. It probably didn't, but maybe for some of you in the room, it inspired you to start running, and maybe you want to run a half marathon yourself. By the way, did you get one of the stickers that you're going to put in your window, the 13.1? Okay, just checking. And so maybe you got inspired by Emma running the half marathon, and she's got the cool sticker in the back of her car window. And so yeah, you're like, I'm going to run tomorrow. And so you go to the mall and you buy running shoes and you get the really cool running watch and run 13.1 miles. And I would say that, like, for most of us in this room, We're not the type of people to just go running a half marathon. And so if that's the way you want to do it, you might die. But let's say this. Let's say you decide to run a half marathon, but you're going to do it 9 months from now. So you start to train with low miles, and you start to train, and then you increase your mileage, and you go to, you eat salad instead of going to Cane's. And then you continue to train, and then you continue to add miles on, and slowly and more surely you begin to change, and your habits begin to change in your life. And all of a sudden, running a half marathon is still going to be difficult, but now you've become a person who can run a half marathon, right? And so what happens, though, is we have so many Christians who are trying to become like Jesus by trying hard instead of training hard. I'm going to say that again, and this is a quote from a guy named John Mark Comer. He says this: we have so many Christians who are trying to become like Jesus by trying hard instead of training hard. Now, that's kind of contrary to what many pastors and many preachers talk about. And I want to say this, we talk about a lot of times, it's not by your works. That's the way we say it. But I want you to know that there's a delicate balance. Like, we aren't saved, this is true, we're not saved by our works, but once we realize that we're not saved by our works, but we're saved by the work that Jesus did on the cross, our natural response to that should be a desire to work and grow. See, one of the things that we say here is that growing people change, right? And so that's the natural response. Change takes work. Change takes time. Last thing is this. You're not saved by effort, but you're going to need effort to follow Jesus. See, all throughout the Bible, it's talked about multiple times. Jesus tells this, and Paul talks about this. It talks about how following Jesus is compared to like running a race. And there are times when it talks about, different times in the Bible where it talks about being a soldier or even being a farmer. And all of these things, whether you're a runner or a soldier or a farmer, all of these different stories, these illustrations that Jesus and the different writers of the Bible talked about, what do they all take? They all take training. They all take work. They all take intentionality. See, the Sermon on the Mount that we talked about earlier, Jesus, he started the sermon and he ended the sermon by urging his listeners to do one thing, and that's practice. One of my favorite viral clips, I know I'm preaching too long, I am done, this is the last thing I'm saying. One of my favorite viral clips is of Allen Iverson. You guys know who he is? That's right. And he says, practice? We're talking about practice? Anybody? Okay, maybe it's just me. No basketball fans in the room? Okay. So, let's say this. Listen. Let's say this. When your identity has changed in Christ, the way you can tell isn't just by attending church. It's not just by being baptized, but it's by your habits changing. Like, you would never call yourself a baseball player and never practice hitting. You would never call yourself a doctor and never practice medicine. You would never say that you're a pilot and never fly a plane. Imagine saying you're a Christian and not training to be like Jesus. If you're wanting to find freedom in your life, you need to establish some habits. But I want you to know this, that the power is not in the habit. It's in a holy God. And so what we do is we pursue habits. And as we pursue habits, growing in our relationship with God, we let Jesus do the work inside of us. And so the habit, what it does, it creates space for God to grow. And so what happens, like what we talked about in the Bible, is that we sow, we invest. So what happens when we do that is that Jesus can do the work inside of us. And what a habit does, it creates space for God to grow. And so, once again, I want to remind you, the point isn't the habits. The point has always been Jesus Christ. And what we're doing is we're simply putting ourselves in a place for him to grow in our lives. Everyone, close your eyes and bow your heads just for a moment. I can't make any guarantees in life, but I can guarantee this, is that if you'll commit to growth and habits towards Jesus, I guarantee that you'll begin to see freedom, you'll begin to see growth, you'll begin to see change, but it's going to take a little work.